You know, I got ready for this morning and I kind of looked over the Bible reading on the feeding of the 5,000, and there's so much good stuff there to use to deliver to you a message of comfort and hope, of God's power and His love for you. At first, I thought about, you know, that first part of the text where the disciples came back. They had been out doing the ministry two by two that Jesus gave them to do, and they came back and they were all filled with this excitement to make a report to Jesus. And so much had gone on and gotten so busy that Jesus said to them, you know, we better get away to a solitary place for some rest. I suppose that meant meditation and prayer, focusing again on God's love just for them. I thought about maybe I would deliver a message. You know, Jesus took the bread and the fish, and He said a prayer. He gave thanks to God for what He had. And I thought, that would be kind of cool, but how do you preach on such a prayer? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, when He's the one saying it. But it must have been a neat prayer, whatever it was. But then I read over the text again, and I hit on something that I think probably has more application to you than anything else. You see, they had been doing all of this work and trying to get away to a solitary place. The crowd saw them, ran after them, and beat them to the place where they were going to go. They needed Jesus. They wanted to see Him and hear Him and experience Him. So they ran out ahead of Him. And when Jesus finally got there, He looked at the great multitude of 5,000 men, plus, I suppose, all the women and children. Who knows how many it really was. And the Bible says He had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And it hit me. That's it. Compassion. Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed Him. They needed to see Him and hear Him and experience Him. And you know, later on in the church, this became an issue. Compassion. And so Peter would write, love one another. And don't forget to be compassionate. Paul would write to the Ephesians, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as you have been forgiven in Christ Jesus. Compassion is extremely important. In fact, I would say it's key. You see, Jesus said to the group of disciples and to all of us, He says, go unto all nations. Be about My mission of saving the lost, bringing them to Me, My death and resurrection. They will find comfort and hope in Me. So go. Go out and make disciples. But He doesn't just leave them with that. He gives them what's really important to fulfill that mission. God gives compassion. I bring this up because it's an odd thing. Do you know many times I do ministry without compassion? And if I do that, I would imagine you do too. Think, stop for just a moment. Have you ever engaged in any kind of a ministry, whether it be with your wife, husband, children, other members of the family, at work, or even in the church, and did it without compassion. I'll guarantee you have just like me. But not so with Jesus. It says, even after the day is long and so much has happened and there's so much more to do, Jesus looked out over the crowd and he had compassion. In the Bible, that literally means his gut moved. His bowels were stirred. And it wasn't because the fish was bad. It was because of who he was and what he received from the Father. We do so much without compassion. We do so because we know we should be busy. We know we should be doing something, some good. We know it. The Bible tells us that we should be God's workmanship, doing good works. And so we know as a church, as well as a people, we should be busy about God's work. And then we do it. But oftentimes without compassion, which is fine and works for a short period of time, but it doesn't have legs without compassion. That is the things that we do. Compassion is imperative. And so in the church, I've seen a lot of ministries start up and get going, great guns. People all excited. We're finally going to do something that really matters. And the community is going to notice it. And we will thrive with success. And then I look at the people and I see there's no compassion. Maybe a little. And I think to myself, oh boy, here we go again. Good intentions without compassion. Think about that. It's like a shooting star. It quickly burns up. It's like a lamp that's been lit, but it doesn't have enough oil. And it burns out. It burns out. Do you see that? Do any of you feel like you're burned out with church work? With being spiritual? With being a follower of Jesus? With the need and the will to grow? But the compassion is just not there. You know, it's part of culture's fault. It's part of the world in which you live. Think of it. Passion. That's what you hear these days. Passion, passion, passion. What's your passion? What's your purpose in life? We're told, have passion and follow your dreams. That will make you successful. But there's something wrong with it. When we bring it into the church, you can have a passion or purpose-driven church, but without compassion, it means nothing. Do you think that could be our failure? We hear what's going on out there and we think it'll work for us, but we forget about compassion. Did you know that in the Bible, there is not one place where the word passion is used in context of something Jesus does? Oh, that sounds odd. That can't be right. We've got the passion of Christ. We got Passion Week. There must be some place. Nope, not a place. It doesn't mean he didn't have passion. He surely did. But it's inferred because of his compassion. Get it? The word compassion is found in context with Jesus, not passion. So it's inferred that he has passion because of his compassion. Compassion drove the ministry of Jesus. I'll even go as far as to say, I'm going to step out on a limb, Jesus was driven just as much by his gut than his heart and his brain. You ever hear that before? A gut so stirred with compassion because he loved people. Wow. He loved people. You can have an extremely passionate leader, but he can't make you compassionate. Never will. Compassion is a godly thing. It can come from God only through the work of his Holy Spirit. It is something God gives by way of his grace and continues to give because God wants you to be compassionate. And you can ask for it and receive it. And you need it. You need it badly. So today, I'm going to get right down to brass tacks. This is really what this is all about. I am suggesting that everyone here take some time for self-examination. In all things that you do in ministry, I want you this week to spend some time in self-examination. Do you do things without compassion? How's that going? How's that working for you? I want you to take some time for self-examination and really get down on your knees and ask for a compassionate ministry more than a passionate one. Can you do that for me? Can you say amen? We need it as a church. Bethlehem needs this. If we don't have compassionate members, people of God who care about people, no matter what we do in ministry isn't going to mean a hill of beans. I've seen burnout. I've seen a lot of it. You've been a busy group of people over the last 10 to 20 years, even maybe more, you know, with the building and the flood. Movement of pastoral leadership, ways that you do worship, shine and share, the list goes on. Sunday school, youth, confirmation, the whole ball of wax. You've been pretty busy. Your compassion may be wavering. And that's not good. You know, I also see people who are ornery and tired. And I think I know why. It's not that you've lost your passion. But we need some time of self-examination to rediscover compassion. A beloved and elderly pastor that I know fairly well, he's been in ministry over 45 years, would say something to me joking around I'll never forget, because there's a little bit of truth to it. He says, the ministry would be wonderful and amazing if it weren't for people. Think about it. Think about it. There's probably things you do for the church that'd be great if there weren't any other people. You were the only one. But see, he's joking around because I know him to be a compassionate person. He's also said to me, I don't know how many times, I've seen so many people change over the years. Don't you ever tell me that people can't change. All they need is love and somebody to care for them. That's your job. That's your ministry. Forget the other stuff. Love your people. Teach them to be compassionate. All those years of ministry led him to that wonderful truth. So Jesus would go throughout the villages and towns. He would examine the crowds. He would see them as tormented and helpless. Now, Jesus loved the Father. That love gives birth to compassion. That's the same thing we need. You can't love anyone else until you first are loved. I want you to come with me now then. I want you to gather with me under the love of God through the means of His Son. To take a seat with the 5,000 and see what He has to say, being constant and consistent in worship and telling others they need the same. People say all kinds of things about church, any church, congregations, this congregation. Show a little compassion, even on their negativity. Be inviting. Let them know this is a place for compassion, where they can get it and receive it and start really enjoying life. Let's take a few moments to get away for some quiet time and rest. Consider the power of prayer that can mend the soul. To get under the cross of Jesus and pray the proper prayers. Not just about the material things we need in life, but for compassion. Take the time to go with the sins that are tormenting you, giving you troubles, making you helpless and hopeless, meditating on the love of God under the cross, beneath the wood where you find your rock. Think of it this way. Good shepherds must first be sheep in need. I want you all to be good shepherds. But you first got to find out you are really sheep in need. And sheep need to be tended by the shepherd and receive his word, receive his spirit, and receive his compassion. You know, we're such a judgmental people. We go around and we see such stupidity in the world. And people who are responsible for their own troubles. And we say of it, I'm not going to deal with that stupidity. That's their own fault. Don't forget ever that you too are a sinner born of sin. And you can never say that one sin is more damning than another. It all leads to death. Compassion finds its root in God's love for you. So you need some time of self-examination, just like me, to be renewed in the Spirit, not just with the knowledge of love, but also what love gives birth to, and that is compassion. Did you hear about this woman just in the last couple of weeks? I think it happened on July 4th. She was riding her bicycle, and she came to a drawbridge. I think it was near, I don't know, Green Bay or someplace. Drawbridge went up. Ship was going to go underneath. And she made the decision to ignore the crossing signals, the ringing bells, and even the lifting road in front of her. She decided to drive right through it. Did you see this? Yeah. If you watched that for just a moment, you would be thinking, you idiot, what are you doing? I mean, the bridge is up almost as high. The standards are down so you can't cross. The bells are ringing, the lights are flashing, and she takes her bike, goes straight through it. And she goes to the point that she falls right off the edge and lands on the part of the bridge that's going up. And you're thinking, if that's going to close, she's going to be crushed. I hope somebody helps her. And there's cars parked there, of course, because the bridge is going up and down. And nobody gets out of their car to help her. For over a minute, she lays there. Until one guy, parked way back, comes running up out of his car, past the standards and all the bystanders, runs over to this poor woman, what was she thinking, and lifts her up out of certain death. Somebody asked, why'd he do it? You know what he said? I was in a bike accident one time by a hit-and-run driver. I knew exactly what she was going through. Folks, we need some time for self-examination. We need to figure this thing out. We need to know, hey, we're no better than anybody else. We need it. Compassion. We want God to give it. We see ourselves for who we truly are. Sinners who sin, who on our way to the grave, but thank God also on our way to heaven. Wouldn't you like somebody else to join you? Maybe somebody who doesn't really deserve it, but God is good enough to give it to anyway? Amen? Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.